Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that hymn. This is my Father's world. Too many times we fell out to the adversary. We think in reality that this is Satan's world and that he has beat it and he's continuing to show us. But the reality of it is he is a vanquished foe in and through Jesus Christ. And we need to, if we could say it this way, live in that reality of the victor in Christ Jesus himself. For our Christ the King Sunday, I've actually chosen a different kind of scripture. I've gone from Ephesians, so you can remain seated. It's more of a teaching epistle. But Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 15 through 23. Last week, we really spoke on the aspect of overcoming anxiety in and through Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to be going through a different part of these whole things. In fact, next week, the sermon message will be basically on the aspect of words can hurt. Words have the power of building up or tearing down. But this week, we're going to understand and know what Christ has actually done for us to empower us, to give us victory in this world, seeing that he is the King. So I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 15 through 23, continuing in Jesus' name. Wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all in all. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us, and we thank you. We thank you that you allow this word to impact us even in this day and age. As Paul speaks so powerfully through the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that you have sanctified him for that great purpose. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, Father, because we know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is one of my heroes. There's no doubt about it. I've mentioned it many times to you. Paul had a great zeal for his service. Even when we saw him as Saul and persecuting the church, he did it with great gusto. He didn't do anything halfway. And yet when Jesus met him and shown him exactly and told him that he would be persecuted in reality for the church, that he would be a forerunner, that he would be a powerful force to be reckoned with, that he would go not only to those of Israel, but also to the Gentiles and serve, and that he would suffer many things. He didn't lose his zeal. He was an extremely intelligent individual. He was taught by the best. He says he was a Pharisee of Pharisee. In fact, inspired by the scripture, as I often quote, he said he was blameless in the law. Inspired by the Holy Spirit that is penned in scripture. Too many times we turn around and we look at Pharisees and we think of them as lightweights or goofs or they didn't know what they were doing or just religious zealots. They were extremely brilliant people. They understood the law. They were the ones in reality that determined what the law said. Paul was brilliant. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the most highly educated teachers that was ever found throughout the Pharisees. He had dual citizenship that God used very powerfully in his ministry that opened doors that nobody else could get through. He spent 3 years in Ephesus building a church, encouraging a church. Paul knows what he's speaking about. We speak about Christ the King Sunday, and it's actually kind of an interesting thing that has actually taken more of a turn. It's more of a higher and a mighty term. There's no doubt about it. Christ the King. There used to be a term, it was called Judgment Sunday at one time. But that sounded very harsh. Christ the King. To fathom that, to understand that, that there is no other authority above Him. We look so much to this world for authority. We look to this world for so many answers in so many areas of our life. But yet we in reality are the children of the Most High. Each and every answer is already before His lips before we even ask the question. To understand how to deal with the aspect of our problems in this day and age, how to deal with the struggles in our earthly life, how to deal with even the issues and the struggles of our spiritual life, are all found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Paul is encouraging us to look at that finished work of Jesus Christ. Ephesians is extremely powerful. It never really focuses on me. And you could say that personally too. It is for us. But the amount of times Ephesians says Him, He, His, speaking of God the Father, speaking of Jesus Christ, speaking of the power of the Holy Spirit, is unimaginable. It's a very, very victorious part of Scripture that encourages us that we are winners in and through Him. But do we feel like we're winners? Do we feel encouraged in the day and age that we live in that we are actually more than conquerors through Him who has loved us? Paul now turns around and he opens with our text here. He says, for this reason. And sometimes we have to actually wonder why. What's this reason? We can't just jump far ahead. He talks earlier in this text about them coming to faith through His preaching, through the power of the Word. And that coming through faith, they have now become inheritors of that down payment of the Holy Spirit, the promise of God. And He's encouraging them to continue in that same Word and also rely on the power of that Holy Spirit. And that encouragement is for us today. Not for some goofy spirituality, but to understand that the power of God is real and alive, not only through His body, not only through the written Word, but also through the power of His Holy Spirit that He gifts to us by faith. That, to me, is a huge encouragement. How do we deal with struggles and issues in our life? To understand, no matter what, we are not alone. That we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. How often do we rely on that? How often do we even do, as it says in the book of Acts, pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit? Oh, we've seen people take abuses of this and think they can control it, that they can depict how it will come. But how often do we sincerely, and I can't gauge in your life, but I know I lack in mine. How often do we ask, Father, please bless me with Your Spirit that I may know truth? Bless me with Your Spirit that may have insight and wisdom. Bless me, Father, so that I can glorify You. Can we escape circumstances? No, not really. Circumstances, struggles, victories, they will come in our lives. But how can we deal with them? How can we live through them and also bring honor and glory to God? By the power of His Holy Spirit, given to us by faith through grace. What a gift. He says, for this reason, he says, because in reality you guys now know this, I have heard of your faith. He says, I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to what? All the saints. All those that are sanctified, set apart for a purpose. Believers. Too many times we lose the grip of that title to understand who we are. That we are the saints. Sanctified, set apart for a purpose. We think, oh, that's such a high title that we can't actually claim to that. Paul calls us saints in many different occasions whenever you open a lot of his readings. To the saints in Corinth. To the saints in Ephesus. To know that we are set apart. What sets us apart? The payment. The payment is what sets us apart. That we were actually purchased. Purchased by the blood of Christ himself. Received by faith through grace. What a beautiful gift to understand the redeeming work that God has poured out before us and upon us. He says, we have heard of your faith, that it continues. Though there's trying times, though in Ephesus there's uprising, though there's difficulty, though it seems the government's going to take over, all these other conspiracies that are going on, we've heard of your faith. You continue in that faith of Jesus Christ. He says, and how does that exemplify itself? By your love to one another. By your love one another. And then he turns and he makes this very powerful, if I could say, Pauline statement. He makes it often throughout his writings. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. That to me is such a beautiful encouragement. Christ himself tells us, pray without ceasing. Paul exemplifies this. He says, I've heard of your faith. I hear of your love. He says, and you know what? I continually go before the Father, thanking him for you. Talk about feeling appreciated. Have you felt that? Do you feel appreciated by others? How does it make you feel, in all honesty, when people come and they tell you, we've been praying for you? I tell you, it really encourages me. You know, it's some people have more of a gift in that area where they can vocalize it a little more. Doesn't mean that others aren't praying for you. But is it an encouragement? Even last week, to receive phone calls, to have individuals say to me, Pastor, we're praying for you. That really strengthens an individual to understand and to know that, you know, going through the situations we're going through, we can endure this because the saints are on our behalf, lifting us before the Heavenly Father. I remember one time, and I've probably repeated this, but that's okay. When I get to be your Buffy for many years, you get to hear the same stories over and over. One of my good friends got in a car wreck down by Hardee's. He smashed his van into a power pole. It was Ross Jarvie. He ended up in the hospital. Dr. Lufkin, in reality, is the one that probably saved his life by drilling a hole in his head because pressure was building up so quick. Obviously, we can give all credit to God, but it was a very bold move, and it worked. And when Ross was in the middle of recovering, he made a statement to me. He said, man, I could feel the power. I could feel the power of the prayers. And I was like, that's a cool statement to make, right? I mean, come on, that's really cool. To feel that? But I remember asking God, what's it like to feel prayer? You got to be careful what you ask for. I always was told that God never just gives us understanding. He teaches us understanding. He teaches us different things. Fast forward in my life, I end up coming down with cancer. I'm going through chemo. And I'm literally thinking, Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can do. You know, we're cocky when we first start. I sat next to an 80-year-old man, and the first time I ever had chemo, this guy sat next to me in the chair, and he says, what are you in for? And I looked at him, and I said, well, I got B-cell lymphoma, you know. He goes, me too. It's my third time. If I get it again after this, I'm just going to die. I thought, how in the world could you say a statement like that, you know? I remember I was so taken back. Well, after 36 chemo treatments, you realize, now I know why that guy said that. At 80 years old, I'd probably want to do the same. So, I'm going through this. And I remember, I was walking from my chicken coop to the house. I'd done all my energy to go get my eggs, because that was my goal for the day. And I was walking across the yard. And I remember saying, Lord, I am so beat. I don't know how I'm going to continue doing this. I need help. And I am not kidding you. Call me cuckoo. Call me what you want. But remember, I'm asking, what does it feel to feel like to have the prayers of the saints? All of a sudden, I felt reassurance that I could never, ever explain. Literally to the physical point of having someone put a blanket around me and just comfort me. And I had my cell phone in my pocket and it went off. And I looked down on it and it was a guy from New England that texted me. He says, I'm in a prayer meeting right now and we're praying for you at this moment. God hears. God encourages. God strengthens. Paul says, I never stop. I don't cease praying for you because you are the living testimony of Jesus Christ. You are loving. You are encouraging. He says, I remember you in my prayers all the time. He says, and for what purpose? He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all glory, may give you what? The spirit of wisdom. It doesn't mean circumstances aren't going to come, but he gives us in reality the spirit of wisdom to know what to do in and through each situation. If we would take the time to ask the question, if we take the time to think through the process and ask, what would God have us to do? I know, we all wore those bracelets, right? I never wore one, but you know, WWJD. I remember one of the pastors in my seminary, they'd say, WWJD, what does that mean? Obviously, what would Jesus do? Whatever I want. That's often what human beings think. We don't want to admit it, but we have a tendency to say, well, Jesus would do what I, you know, this is what Jesus would do. We speak for him. But no, this is what he's asking for. He says, I'm praying that you will allow the Spirit to give all wisdom. And also what? The revelation and the knowledge of him. That you would be, your eyes would be wide open. That your eyes would be wide open. I think of the road to Emmaus, the two that are traveling after the crucifixion of Jesus and he's raised from the dead. And they're really bumming. Their heads are hanging. They're like, man, this is bad. Jesus is gone. And then all of a sudden Jesus, he hides himself from them, but they didn't know who he was. That he's God. He can do what he wants. So he's walking along. And he says, what are you guys so bumming about? Where have you been? Haven't you heard? And they give them the whole story about the coming of Jesus and what was going on. And then they turn around and say, and we're so disappointed. Because we thought he was going to lead us. We thought he was the answer. However you want to say it, they were really disappointed. And they even tell him, you know, because now he's even dead for 3 days. I mean, he's really, really dead here. And then it says that he opened the scripture to them. He opened the scripture starting in the Old Testament all the way up through the coming. And they said that their hearts were made alive by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is the same opportunity that we have. We have that living word. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the body of Christ. We have all of this going in our favor. That we would open this word. That we would deal with this word in our lives to be encouraged. Because I don't care what you think. It's not that great out there. But it sure is good in here. It's not that great out there. There's difficulty. That's true. But it's sure good in His Word. It's sure good in His body. He says, I'm praying and I'm lifting you up to build your faith. That you guys would have this greater understanding. He says, having your eyes of your heart enlightened. He says, very plainly, that you may know what is the hope which He has called you to. That you would know Him. That the eyes of your heart, that you would actually be enlightened in this area. That you would be encouraged. In other words, that we would stop focusing on what's out there. And rather that we would see what's in here. What's in His Word. What's in His body. To encourage us through yet one more day. Even when we deal with the aspect of struggle and difficulty, that is so powerful. But how about even in the celebration of victory? That we would not do that alone. That we would be encouraged to celebrate with the body. That we'd be encouraged to celebrate in and through the Spirit that God has blessed us so immensely. We can't even imagine. He says, I'm asking that this would all take place. That your heart in reality would be opened up. That your inner parts would see. He says, for this great hope He has called you to. And He says, and really, what are the riches of His? I just think that's so amazing, isn't it? He says that you would be brought into the wisdom and the revelation of Him that He has called you to for His glorious inheritance. It's all about what He has done and continues to do. You make a statement often that people in this world will turn around and they'll say, well, if there's a God. Have you ever heard that statement? If there's a God, why is there this? Why is there that? Because there is a God, we can go through this. We can go through that. Why are we seeking to define our God through the circumstances of a fallen world? It says very plainly, even in this text, that God is known by revelation. How much time do we spend? And I'm serious. How much time do we spend in His Word? Huh? Everybody got a smartphone, boy. I know what's going on Facebook. Let me tell you that much. I got to figure it out. You see my new truck on there? I just redid it. See all the rumors about Trump? All the rumors about Hillary? Still balking about Barack Obama? Twitter? Snapchat? Yeah. Revelation by the Word of God. Seriously, Jesse, that's all I have to look to. How much time do you spend in His Word? Kudos to the person that spends 15 minutes in a day. 15 minutes. Where is God? He's in His Word. He's in His body, and you guys are doing excellent by being here. It's not me. It's the fellowship of the saints. He has called you to His richness, His glorious inheritance for each and every saint. And actually, Paul goes on farther to say, what He has is so immeasurable. Immeasurable. Don't we often put a limit on what God can do? It says it's immeasurable greatness of His power towards us. Here's a nice little click for you. Who believe? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. It's not just here in pulpits. It's not just in your car with a CD. It's audible Word, reading His Scripture, understanding His Word, the power and the might of that living Word. We do not worship a historical Christ. He's not dead and gone. We worship a resurrected and a living Christ who continues to speak by the power of His body, by the power of His Word, through the power of His Holy Spirit. How in tune are we? Dealing with difficulties, anxiety of the holidays, struggles of the holidays. Where is the answer? It's not Facebook. It's not Snapchat. It's not Twitter. Some of the shopping is made easier through Amazon. But it's by His living Word. Being empowered by the saints. Given the power of the Holy Spirit. We are encouraged. Paul says we can't even understand the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ. Now he speaks of God the Father. He worked this great work in Christ when He did what? He raised Him from the dead, victorious over all circumstances. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is ours also by faith through grace. That even as we speak on Easter, that tomb is empty because He in reality is resurrected by faith. We are resurrected. He's telling us very plainly. God the Father worked this in Christ and raised Him from the dead. And what did He do? He seated Him in heavenly places on His right hand. Principality and power. There is no other name above his name. He is there as our advocate. Have you ever considered that? We don't live in other religions where we have to go to Mary or we have to go to anybody else. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father in our place as our advocate. Because he has paid the penalty for you, for me, and for everyone. What a powerful testimony. Paul is encouraging us to look to that. He's seated there. He says, far above what? All authority and power and dominion over every government upon this earth, every government within our churches, within every doctrine statement or anything else. Christ is above all of those things. Why do I say that? Because sometimes we become so hardlined that we won't even look beyond anything else. We stick to what we have written ourselves. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I know nothing else. Paul says that. Jesus says very plainly when they ask, what are the works that we can do of God? What are these great works that we can do of God? Believe in me, or believe in him who he has sent. That is the work of God. By faith through grace. He says he's far above all rule, all authority, all dominion, and above every name that is named. There is nothing above him. There are not many paths that lead to heaven. Oh, we might like to think a tranquil path, you know? But it is in and through Jesus Christ and him alone. Praise God. You know, we turn around and we say, well, you know, broad is a way that leads to destruction, as Scripture says, but narrow is a path, right? And that's absolutely true. We don't like to preach that much. Because we preach it more in a legalism where we start telling people, come to my church, do my way. Broad is the way. There's all kinds of paths that people will tell you to lead to heaven, and they're all false. Singular is the path. It is Jesus Christ and him alone. But who can enter on that path? All who believe. The simplicity of faith. It's open to all. You don't have to go and do a great work. You don't have to build a great monument. You don't have to go take off 17 people's heads. You don't have to do all these other things. That's foolishness, and that's from the pit of hell. It is by grace through faith. What a beautiful gift. He's above every dominion. He put all things under his feet. He gave him the head over all things. Most importantly, his church, which is what? His believers, his body. We are the body of Christ. It's not because it says Zion on the outside. It doesn't say it because it's, you know, it says Apostolic Lutheran somewhere in our bylaws. None of that stuff. It is by Jesus Christ and him alone. He put all things under his feet. He gave him to be the head of all the church, his body, and the fullness of him who actually fills all in all. In him is life. Jesus says another place in Scripture very plainly in the Gospel of John, without me, you can do nothing. Paul is bringing us to that point. What are we trying to do? What are we trying to prove? And how's that going for us? Lay down our arms, lay down our pride, and surrender to him, for he has nothing but good for us. You want to overcome anxiety? You want to overcome issues in your life? You want to overcome problems? I'm not going to say you're going to get out of them. But you can go through them and be encouraged and encourage others by going through them in and through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would not take us out of the situation, but rather you would allow us to learn what we must learn going through the situation, that we can bring you honor and glory. And also, as Ephesians says, that our experiences can encourage others. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.